that the song says, death could not hold him down. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Aren't you glad about that today? You know, the other day I was just riding out. The kids and I riding to school. We like to do devotions and stuff on the way to school. We do something called Keys for Kids. And, you know, we're just praying and thanking God for things. And sometimes, and I just started thinking, God, thank you that my sins are forgiven. Anybody ever just think about that? God, thank you that I do not have to pay the penalty for my sin. Amen. See, y'all, you know, y'all been saved too long. Some of y'all have known Jesus too long. Because when you think about what I just said, thank you. See, when you got to praise him when you recognize what the penalty for sin is. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Now, when we say death, we think about the grave. We think about going into the grave. You think about the funeral. You think about that casket. When we say death, see, death is more than just going into that ground. Death is to be eternally separated from God. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God in a place of torment. The Bible says that it's a place where the worm never dies. It's a place of torment and total darkness. But it said the wages of sin is what? Total separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm going to ask you one more time. How many of you are glad your sins are forgiven? Come on and praise him like you're glad about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I no longer have to pay the penalty for my sin. That Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Oh God. And I'm so glad about it because, listen, it doesn't mean that I don't still sin. I don't know about y'all, but I sinned this morning. Anybody else sin this morning? Don't raise your hand. Just bat your eyelash if you sin this morning. I messed up this morning. I probably hollered at one of my kids. Said something smart out my mouth to my wife. Amen. When you're trying to get to church on time. I messed up this morning. But guess what? When he looks at me, he still looks at me just as if I'd never sinned. Oh my God. You ought to shout on that. I just said that I yelled at my kids. Somebody may think, listen, I did a little worse than that. But guess what? There is no sin that's too big for God to forgive you. And there's nothing that I could do that will now separate me from. The Bible said, listen, what now can separate me from his love? Nothing can death, life, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Anybody else glad about that this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because I need to know that. Somebody needs to know that this morning. Because sometimes you feel distant from God. Sometimes we feel unworthy. Sometimes we just feel less than. And God, just thank God that he has counted me worthy. It's not because of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy that he saved me. I'm glad about that this morning. Amen. Death could not hold you down. Hallelujah. Come on, you are
the reason.
Hallelujah.
Seated in majesty, you are the reason.
Amen. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Good morning. We want to welcome you this morning. Amen. We're so glad that you came to worship here with us. If you're a guest here this morning, we want you to stand. Don't stand. If you're a guest, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. God bless you. We are so thankful that you came to worship with us this morning. We're glad to have you. We have actually, it should be in your seat or in front of your seat. There might be one, a little connect card. We ask that all of our guests, if you please fill out the little connection card, we're going to give you an opportunity to put it in the offering plate a little bit later. But also, as we go throughout the service today, the Lord might speak to you through the message, through something, through a song. The Lord may speak to your heart. And on the back is a place for you to indicate, listen, how God has directed me. What's next for you? If it's a decision you want to make for Christ, if you want to recommit your life, if you've never been baptized, if you're looking for a church home, or if you just have a prayer request, it's a place for you to place that, put that. And we're going to give you an opportunity as we move through the service to place that in the offering envelope. If you're not a guest here, if you've been here before, listen, you can fill out that connection card as well. If we don't have your contact information, please indicate that there, as well as any decision that the Lord moves on your heart to make this morning. Amen? Amen. How many of you have enjoyed our series on close encounters with God? Awesome. Awesome. We, over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about having a close encounter with God, and we just looked in the Bible at several people, several characters who had close encounters with God. And we did that because we are going through a season right now where we are known formerly as the Washington Christian Center, now are known as the Encounter Life Church, because we want people to encounter new life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we believe that if you encounter God's presence, you discover your purpose, and then you can experience his power in your life. And as we've been going through that, we believe that these people, we say in Scripture, people who had close encounters with God, they've never been the same. In fact, this church started with a what? Close encounter with God. These two people sitting on the front row, my parents, Pastor Dr. McKinney and Sister Dolores, had a close encounter with God around 1973, 1974. And God showed up and showed himself to them in an unmistakable way. And from that, that's why we're here today. God did amazing things. And we believe that as we encounter God's presence, he changes everything. And my prayer, our prayer is that through that series, that some of you began to have an encounter with God at some point and begin to see that God, listen, wants to, he has a call on your life. He's got purpose for you. Do you all know God's got purpose and plan for your life? And when you encounter his presence, we want, when you come in here, that you encounter him and he shows you what his purpose is for your life. And when you're walking in that purpose, then you can, your life has meaning, has impact, has power. Amen. But when you respond to that call, you'll see when a lot of the people that responded to that call when we were talking about in our last series, responding to that call on your life can be a scary thing. Anybody ever heard God call them and tell them to do something? And you just were scared. Anybody just been scared, just plain scared about anything? Has something that you needed to do, a job that you had to do, and you were just scared. And usually we're scared of stuff because we just like, I feel inadequate to be able to handle what is in front of me. Think about characters in the Bible. Remember David and Goliath. David, you know, he had to face Goliath and this giant. And the Bible talks about, we see David's courage. But I'm here to tell you, most people who you see that are courageous in Scripture, or you see courageous people, you see soldiers who are courageous, it is not because they're not scared. See, courage is being scared and being fearful and then doing it anyway. And this morning, if you want to have an encounter with God, he's going to call you to something that's probably bigger than you, and you're going to be fearful. You're going to have fear. It's going to just pop up on you. It's natural. It's a reflex. I don't know about y'all. When I got to do something this big, you know, I get scared. I don't know. I used to be scared of roller coasters. Anybody roller coaster riders here? See, it took me a while. I was about 17, 18 before I would get on a roller coaster. I was the guy that when all my friends went to King's Dominion, I was on the Scooby-Doo. If y'all know the Scooby-Doo, I would ride that Scooby-Doo till I get my nerve up. Then I'd jump over to the Rebel. See, I had to go to Scooby-Doo for a while till I can get to the Rebel Yell. Anybody been to King's Dominion? See, this, I haven't been in a long time. But see, then when I got to the Rebel Yell, then I was able to go to what? The Grizzly. And then I could move on up in the ranks because, listen, I had to get over my fear. And even when I got to the bigger roller coasters, it didn't mean I wasn't scared. I was able to push through and do it anyway. And there's something about it when you go do something, even when you're scared and you push through it anyway, you get this amazing thrill. This adrenaline rush comes through. And I'm here to tell you, when you step out in faith and do what God has called you to do, even in the midst of your fear, man, he will give you an amazing ride. Because you know it is him who's carried you through. And over the next 3 weeks, we're just kind of connecting our series of close encounters, and we're going to do a 3-week series called Fearless. And it's going through the life of someone who had a close encounter with God. If you could turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 6, it's a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon had an encounter with God, and God asked Gideon to do something that was bigger than him, and he was scared to death. We're going to learn how that we can be fearless in the face of God's call, in the face of something that looks too big for us. And I love it. Can we put the title slide back up there again? Y'all see what the title slide says? Fear what? Doesn't say we're not fearful at all. It said you still may have fear, but you can fear what? Less. Can we pray really quick? Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to open up your word. And we're thankful today that, Lord, we're all human. So we're going to face giants. We're going to face things that are bigger than us. But we're so thankful that, Lord, we don't ever have to walk alone. That you go with us in the midst of all of those things, Lord. Whatever you've asked us to do, that, Lord, your work done your way will never lack your supply. That whatever you've asked us to do, God, is you who's going to carry it out. And I pray that this morning as we look at the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, that we learn some lessons that we apply to our lives on how to handle fear and trust you to do amazing things in us and through us. Now speak to our hearts, challenge someone. We pray today, once again, Lord, not for more information. We don't need more information. We ask for transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Our main point, before we get into the scripture, I want you to, if you don't remember anything else, I'm going to have several things I say this morning. But I want you to remember this one thing. Don't be afraid. You may be weak, but God is strong. If nothing else comes to you today, don't be afraid. You may be weak, but God is strong. Amen? Let's look at our text in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 11. But before we do that, let me just kind of give a little background. What's happening right here in Judges chapter 6, well, in the book of Judges in general, what was happening now that the Israelites were being ruled by a group of judges. In the book of Judges, the theme in the book of Judges is they did what was right in their what? Own eyes. Several months ago, last year, we did a series called Glory Days. And it talked about the glory days of the children of Israel under Joshua when God brought them into the promised land. And God gave them this land of promise, and he gave them instructions. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. But if you rebel against me, guess what? All of this is going to come on you. And God brought them into this wonderful land. And when they got the wonderful blessing from God, what happened to Israel is kind of what happens to us sometimes. Sometimes when God blesses us and you get the blessing, what happened to them? They forgot God. They were living in a land of abundance, living their glory days in the land of abundance. And what happened is God had told them, when you come into the land, I'm going to give you the land, but you got to drive some of these people out. I'm going to give it to you, but you got to drive these people out of the land. These people who worship pagan gods and these people who didn't honor God. And what they did, instead of pushing out those who didn't worship God, they began to mingle in and worship with them. And in fact, just like this happens in life today, when instead of you making a standard, God wants his people to be distinct. But when he said, come out from among them and be separate. It didn't ask you to be weird, but you got to have a distinction. And his people didn't have a distinction. They assimilated into the culture. How many know today sometimes the church is assimilating into the culture? And the culture now is shaping our view of Christ. It's shaping our Christianity. And God said, no, you got to hold up a standard. And because they didn't hold up a standard, now what happened? The culture overtook them. And they even lost sight of God. They lost sight of God. They were worshiping Baal. They were doing all kind of immoral things, things that God had commanded them never to do. They lost their distinction. And now you find us here in Judges chapter 6, the Midianites had taken over. The Midianites had taken over Israel. Israel, what happened for 7 years, the passage would say, if you look in Judges chapter 6 at the beginning, for 7 years, whenever it was harvest time, the Israelites would plant and get ready for harvest, and the Midianites would sit there and wait for the harvest to come in, and then they would come and they would seize the land and just take all of the food. Everything Israel was planning, they would camp out, the Midianites would camp out, and they would just pick the land dry till Israel had nothing to eat. They couldn't even plant their stuff in public. They would pick the land dry. And what happened is during this time, what God had promised them, they were not living the promise. They were not living the promised land life. And sometimes today there might be somebody here to say, God, I thought this, look, when I came to you, I thought you were going to make things better. I'm not living the promised land life. And the reason they weren't living the promised land life is because they were hard headed. And today, sometimes some of us are struggling and we're living under siege and we're in a season of famine in our life spiritually because you have assimilated into the culture. And God has called you to be distinct. So this is where you find the Israelites at this moment. But I love God because listen, what happened is they were sitting there and they were being beat down by the Midianites. And if you go back and if you go into Judges, we're going to look at verse 11 in a minute. But I want to go to Judges chapter 6 and look at verse 6. It says, so Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. You know, sometimes this is the good thing about God. You can rebel against God. And sometimes we try to do things our own way and keep doing it our own way. And we dig a deeper and deeper hole. And God said, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. And this passage, verse 6 says, then they cried to the Lord for help. And God said, that's what I've been waiting for. He said, they cried to the Lord for help. And when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I'm the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. They cried out to him saying, Lord, what's wrong? This is like Joshua said, Lord, why can't we defeat this city, Ai? And God said, Lord, listen, stop crying. There's sin in the camp. He said, listen, you're living beneath your privilege. Why? Because you have rebelled against me. And at that point, the Lord brings a man on the scene. And let's look at verse 11. Can we look at verse 11? It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. They had to even plant. They had to do all of that. They had to thresh the wheat in a hiding place. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in the whole family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. And he answered, I'll stay here until you come back. Gideon hurried home. He cooked the young goat, and with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of the staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It's all right, the Lord replied. Don't be afraid. You will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains in Ophir in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This morning, I'm going to give you just a few points for you so you can move from a coward to a conqueror. You can be move from a coward to a conqueror. When we look at the life of Gideon was there, what he was doing, the passage says in verse 12, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. What the first thing that you're going to do, I'm going to give you these points really quickly and I'm going to be out of your way. You have to stop defining yourself by your circumstances. Stop defining yourself by your circumstances. What did Gideon do? Gideon said he was sitting there, and where was he? He was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And then if you go down to verse 15, it says, when the Lord called him, he told him, listen, he called him mighty warrior. I'm with you. And he said, Lord, verse 15, Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. What Gideon was doing, Gideon defined himself by his circumstance, by his circumstances. Gideon was, listen, when the circumstances, what were they? They were under siege by the Midianites. And what he did, I love the image of the wine press. What Gideon did, Gideon found a place, he found a safe place in the middle of his circumstance where he can do what was some meaningful work. But the place where he was working was beneath what God's call was for him. See, what he did, he defined himself, he confined and defined himself by his circumstance. His circumstances dictated what he did. He said, listen, we're under siege and I'm afraid if they see me out here threshing wheat, they're going to take it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go in a wine press and I'm going to thresh the wheat in the wine press. My question to you is, where is your wine press today? What is that area that you have subjected yourself to, that you have settled in, and it may not, listen, it's a place that is safe where you can still be working, still doing things that may be meaningful, but it's still not the God's call for you. He's got something way bigger than what you're doing. You're playing it safe. And then he said, listen, God, you can't be calling me, because he says, I'm the least in my family. He defined himself by his circumstance. And God is telling you today, you are not the circumstance that you're in. He's got a greater call on you than that. Listen, you are not your debt. You are not whatever it is. No matter what it is, God said you're greater. Stop defining. If you want to move from courage, from being a coward to being a conqueror, you got to stop defining yourself by your circumstance. What is the circumstance that you're in right now that's got you stuck? Sometimes we get stuck and we're not moving. God has got a bigger call on your life, but you're saying, listen, he can't be that because the situation in it I'm in. He can't be calling me to that because I'm not equipped. I don't have the education for that. He can't be calling me to that because I don't have the financial resources for that. As I think about us as a church, I think, well, we're a small church. And he said, listen, God, we believe God wants to do great things for us. Many of you know we're trying to get ready to do a capital campaign. We have a number that looks to be a large number of money that we want to raise. And we can say, listen, we're not ready for that. We want to confine ourselves to the wine press. We're going to do what we can right here. God said, listen, y'all playing small. I got something way bigger than that. Don't define yourself by your circumstance. Don't define yourself by your numbers that you have right now. Your effectiveness in counter life is not dependent upon how many people you have in the building. I got a greater call for you than what you're playing. Stop playing small. Stop playing safe. And see what he got. He forgot the Midianites got him to define himself by his circumstance, and he lost sight of who he actually was. He lost sight of the fact that the land that we're in is a land God had promised us. You got to do, if you want to move from a coward to being a conqueror, you got to stop defining yourself by your circumstance. But what do you do? If I'm not defining myself by my circumstances, what do I have to do? I got to see myself as God sees me. See yourself as God sees you. Look at what he says, verse 12. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Verse 12 says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, what did he say? The Lord is with you. What did he call him? Mighty warrior. Gideon wasn't no soldier. Gideon was, listen, he looks far from a soldier. He is cowardly ducked down in a wine press, threshing wheat, looking over his shoulder, hoping the Midianites don't see him so we can keep our food. And the Lord comes and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. See, you got to understand what God has said about you. Don't let your circumstances define you. Go to what God says about you. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. God, in Psalm 139 says, listen, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has designed you and he's got purpose for you. And what you got to understand, what God says about you, and you got to begin to see yourself as God sees you. Gideon had never, listen, nowhere in this passage do you see anywhere demonstrated that Gideon was a hero or a warrior. We look at David. The Bible said, listen, when Samuel was coming to look for a king, and he came to Jesse's house, and Jesse, he had all of these sons, and Jesse had all of these strapping big sons, and he looked the part of king. And everybody was going, and he said, this must be the one. He goes to first brother, brother number one. No, that ain't it. Brother number two, big strapping young man. This has got to be it. Handsome. This has got to be. No, he's not the one. And he goes through all these brothers, and it's not, none of them are the one that God is calling to be king. And he said, is there anybody else? Yeah, there's one out in the field, the little boy out in the field. David, but yeah, that can't be it. And he said, that's the one. The shepherd boy. King, he's a shepherd. He said, man looks at the outward appearance. Oh, but God looks at the heart. And see, God is looking not just at your circumstance, but he can see through to the heart. He's looking for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking to show himself strong for those who have a heart perfect toward him. So you got to see yourself as God sees you. Man looks at the outside. God looks at the heart. What does God say? When you become a follower of Christ, he says, you're more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me falsely, he will condemn, will fail. Listen, see yourself as God sees you. And until you get into the word, you may not be able to understand how God sees you. See, the more you get in his word, you see what God says about you. He says you're more than a conqueror. 1 Peter chapter 2 says you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people chosen by God. See, that's why if you want to have confidence, if you want to move from being a coward to a conqueror, you see what God says about you, that will cause you to hold your head up high. Because it ain't because of what me, but because of what he says about me. Moving from a coward to a conqueror, first, you have to stop defining yourself by your circumstances. Second, which you must see yourself as God sees you. And then third, this is what I love about Gideon. In order to move from a coward to a conqueror, you got to understand that sincere doubts don't disqualify you. Sincere doubts don't disqualify. You know, it's okay to question God. God is not scared by your questions. God is not afraid by your question. God is going to ask you to do some stuff, and it's going to not make sense, and it's okay for you to say, God, oh, you can't mean that. I'm confused, Lord. How is this? How could this be? Look at what happened. Look at the passage. God calls Gideon in verse 13. The Lord, he said, listen, the Lord, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. That's what he tells him in verse 11, 12. Then he says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. You know, I love about it is that the next passage doesn't say, and the Lord moved on to somebody else. Gideon asked that question. Look, he asked the question in verse 13. And then what does he say? Look, in verse 14, it said, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. It's okay to question God sometimes. Because what? I'm a human being. And when I have some doubts, when I look at the circumstances, it's natural for me to have some doubts sometimes. But my doubts come from a place, you look in the scripture of many people who ask God questions. Mary, listen, I mean, when God came to certain people, when you look at Mary and Martha, One of them asked the question, Lord, I know you can do this at the last day, but Father, why, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I believe that you're able to raise him up. Her heart was different. The other one was more skeptical. See, he knows the spirit in which you're asking the question. Lord, but Gideon said, Lord, I'm just saying, if you all that, then why are we stuck in this position? I mean, I know what they, our ancestors have told us this, and all of this stuff. They say you brought them out of Egypt and all, but where are the miracles, Lord? Where are they? You've left us hanging. Here's another lesson in this, and this, is not, this wasn't on the main point. But see, when you don't stay, when you don't keep short accounts with God, and when you allow yourself to get a far away, just look at what he just says. He said, Lord, what, they told us about all the miracles, but it's been those miracles, the story of those miracles had gotten so distant that they didn't need, they said, we never seen nothing like that before. We almost forgot about them. And that will happen. The more you, listen, the more you allow the culture to get into your Christianity, the more you spend less and less time with God, you get so far away from God and say, is he really that good? You lose sight of what he done for you a long time ago. That's why it's so important that every day you have a close encounter with God. You gotta, and listen, also that you gotta do, teach it to your children. What had happened to the Israelites? Now, the Bible, and listen, when it says, listen, that they ought to teach it to their children when they lie down, when they walk along the way, when they rise up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's what he told them they ought to do. But now the Israelites were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping other gods. Do you know when you, as a follower of Christ, what we happen, we begin to dilute the gospel in generations. When I say, listen, it don't take all that. Well, my mother and father used to every day, I remember those days, my mom would say, look, I know y'all got to go to school, but we got to come around this word today. We're going to sit at this table. My mom said, listen, Lorenzo, I know you got to go work, but listen, we got to sit down and find out what the Lord says to us. So get around that word. But what happens is when my generation come and I say, listen, guys, we're going to do it tonight when we get back home. We go to church. We still go to church and we hit it. When I hit and miss, what happens now when DJ and Amir and Andrew, it gets diluted even more. Daddy hit and miss. The next generation is like, who is Jesus? If I'm not serious about this thing, if I don't take this thing serious as my parents took serious, generation, that Psalm 78, that the generation to come will set their hope in God. If I don't take what was given to me and then line upon line, precept upon precept, teach it to my children, then there's a generation will come who does not know God. And you see it all the time in church. Because we get busy doing church, but we're not discipling our families. And we're not discipling our children. And we're not, and it never becomes theirs. And it's just a good story. And I pray and we're doing devotion this morning. And my prayer for my kids is, Lord, let Jesus be theirs and not mine. They can't live on Daddy's Jesus. They can't live on my Jesus. Lord, I love you. But Dwayne Judah cannot live on my relationship with you. Let him be real. Lord, let you be real to him. I pray, God, that you will come to him like you came to Samuel. And he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And if I don't do that with this generation, he will grow up and say, we'll go to church, but all that other stuff, it ain't that important. And they'll be good kids. See, that's what we raise. We raise good kids. It's not just about good children. You got to fight for it. Israel has stopped fighting for it. And they let it dilute down. And now they got a generation said, our ancestors talked about it, but this stuff ain't real. How many of us have seen that? Kids drove up in church and said, man, this stuff ain't all that real. It's diluted. You got to fight for it, church. And that's what Gideon was. Gideon asked questions, but I'm so glad that, listen, God does not, he's long-suffering. Gideon said, I heard my grandmama say that God was good. And my grandfather said God was good, and they told us about what you did in Egypt, but the miracles, they told us about the 10 plagues, but we ain't seen no miracles. See, he went all the way back to Egypt. He ain't even, look, he didn't forget about the walls that came tumbling down. You heard about Egypt, but listen, it wasn't just Egypt. He came across the Jordan. He brought the walls of Jericho down. Listen, we lost sight of it. Church, we losing sight of God. Because we're not taking it serious. And you'll have a generation that grows up that does not remember the works of his hands. But I'm so glad that even when you have a generation, God can identify somebody. And he identified Gideon. And he said, Gideon, I'm calling you. Gideon said, Lord, I'm not sure about all that because I don't see the evidence of your power. And I'm so glad that if you're here today and God is calling you to something big, it's okay to ask him a question. Your questions don't disqualify you. You might be thinking, Lord, if I'm doubting it, maybe my faith because I don't have faith. Listen, Peter had doubts. Thomas was one of his disciples. Doubting Thomas, they called him. That was his nickname. But he said, listen, he had doubts. When Thomas, they said, he's alive. He said, I don't know about all that until I see the nail prints in his hands. Until I see the nail prints in his hand, I'm not sure. And what God will do, he meets you right where you are. God will meet you. You have a question. And he said, Lord, I know his heart is still right. And what God will do, sometime he'll show you a sign. Gideon asked for one. Look at the passage. He asked for a sign. He said, Lord, please, if it's you, if that's it, Lord, just show me a sign. Verse 17, he replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering. He said, I'm good. I'll stay right here till you come back. I know I'm going to get your questions out. I want you to get all your questions answered because I got a plan for you. When God got a call on your life, you can ask every question. You can try to make every excuse. He is not going to get let go until we get this done. Think about Moses. He called Moses. Moses said, you ain't calling me because I got a stuttering problem. He said, Moses, okay, I'm going to stay right here because I got a call on your life. And he's going to stay there till he answers that question and confirms it. And then he launches you out to do what he's called you to do. I'm here to tell you, if you got questions for God, go ahead and ask him your questions. That doesn't make you less spiritual because you ask God a question. That doesn't make you less spiritual. Ask him the question. Guess what? He's able to answer. He's able to handle you, even your doubts. What you got to do, you got to stop defining yourself by your circumstances. See yourself as God sees you. And then what you have to do is understand that your sincere doubts don't disqualify you. The next thing that you got to do is this. Number four, step out with the strength that you have. Step out with the strength you have. Look at verse 4. God is calling you to do something big. Verse 14, it says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. God is calling you to something, and what he's telling you to do, stop waiting for more. Notice he didn't say, go with the strength that I'm giving you. He said, I want you to step out on what you have. What did he tell Moses? He told Moses, what's in your hand? He said, I want you to step out with what I've given you. I'm giving you a call, and I want you to step out, go on the strength that you have. Today, he's calling somebody. He's called you to do something, and it's bigger than you. And he said, I know you don't have enough. I want you to go with not having enough. What you have is enough. Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. The widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow, Elijah came to the widow, and he said, listen, what are you doing? She's gathering sticks and stuff. You can check it out, 1 Kings chapter 17. And he said, what are you doing? And he said, listen, can you cook me some bread? He said, all of us is gathering this stuff up because all I got is a little thing of flour and some oil, and I was going to make my son something to eat, and then we just going to die because this is all we got left. And the prophet said, won't you give to the man of God first? Give me something to eat first. And what did she do? She stepped out on what she had. Gave the prophet what she had, and then it said, listen, it just never ran out. Gave her more than enough. When you step out on what you have, John chapter 6, they said, the disciple said, there's a little boy here that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the little boy gave what he had. And God just kept dividing it till there was more baskets left over. God is calling you to something big. Church, what he's calling to us is something big. He's not saying, wait till you get more people. Wait till your financial portfolio is a little stronger. Wait till you get more education. Wait till you're more equipped. He's saying, no, step out on what you have, because I'm sending you. I'm here to tell you, you got to step out on the strength you have. There's somebody here that God's called you to do something and you're just waiting on it because I'm not ready. I got to get some more. I got to get some more money. I got to get some more education, some more training. I need to get more people on my team. I need more. God said, no, I want you to step out on what you have. Stop waiting. Stop. Listen, we wait to pull the trigger. And God said, no, I want you to take a leap of faith because you're stepping out on what you have, on the strength you have, because when you step out on the strength you have, you'll understand it wasn't your strength in the first place. He said, I want you to step out on the strength you have, and you're going to rescue the Israelite from the Midianites. Why? Because you're going to step out on it because you're not going in your own strength. It's me who's sending you. Are you ready to step out on the strength that you have? That call that you know, that thing that you know God has called you to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a ministry responsibility. I don't know if it's a job. I don't know if it's a business opportunity. I don't know what it is in your marriage. Some step that you're supposed to take that you say, I'm waiting for all the ducks to line up. See, that's how we do. We like to tag God on the end. We want to get our ducks in a row and then say, come to God and ask God to bless. See, God said, no, y'all just doing this backwards. You're doing it backwards. I want you to jump out there not having necessarily. Listen, can I give an example of myself? Y'all know I just walked away from full-time employment. Step out on it. And I've been waiting for the last 7-8 years. I told you I wrote a letter of resignation probably 7 years ago. Because I felt God's call on my life to go jump out there. And I said, Lord, I do not have the financial strength. Amen. And I'm waiting, and I would get counsel. And then a multitude of counsels, there's safety. And I get people say, okay, you want to get yourself prepared. You want to do this. You want to do that. And I understand that. And I'm telling you, I know you got to do that. But the Lord put in my spirit that, son, if you just do what I'm calling you to do, even if you're making a mistake, I'm going to get you in the place you need to be. And I got to step out on the strength that I have. And it ain't much. I don't have much, God. And I told my wife, I told my dad the other day, Dad, this is my first pay period on part-time, real part-time. And I don't have a lot of strength. Ooh, that check look a whole lot different. But guess what? And it came, see, this pay period became real, 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 real for me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you, can I be honest? When I looked at that pay stub, I got downright scared again. Because it was all theoretical before. Now when the money come in or don't come in, it's like, whoo, this is really real here, bro. But God said, look, step out on the strength you have. Guess what? My God shall supply all of your needs. He said, listen, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added. You got to stand on his word. Step out on the strength you have. Might not look, it's not enough. And that's what God said, I operate when you ain't enough. Until you get in the area where you're not willing to jump when you don't have enough, you'll never see my power. That's where he's calling this church. Step out on the strength you have. You don't have it all together. You may not have 1 million people. You're not a mega church. You don't have this. You may not have all the money you need. Step out on the strength you have. He's telling you to do that in your family. He's telling you to do that right where you are. Who you are. Step out with what you have. What he's giving you right now is enough. Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands. I got to move. Next thing you get, you got to step out on the strength you have. The next thing you got to do is submit to God's sovereignty. Submit to God's sovereignty. What Gideon did, look at verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." "It's all right," the Lord replied. "Don't be afraid. You're not going to die." And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom. I look at Gideon's response, and Gideon's response is just like Isaiah when he saw the Lord. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am undone." And what Gideon had to do, he fell on his face and said, "Oh, I've seen the Lord face to face." And what Gideon did, he built an altar to the Lord. He worshiped. And what God is saying, if you want to move from a coward to a conqueror, he's asking you to submit to his rule in your life. He fell down and he called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. He's going to give you peace in the midst of the turmoil. You got to submit to his sovereignty in your life. If you want to be a conqueror, you got to submit to his rule. Stop living for yourself. You got to surrender. That's what God is calling you to do. If you continue to try to do it on your own wisdom and your own knowledge, it's not going to happen. You have to become a worshiper. Worship to means to prostrate oneself, to begun fall down before, to assign worth to. You got to surrender, submit to God and say, "God, you are in control." When God showed who he was, Gideon said, "God, you got it." And that building of that altar was an act of worship. And when God reveals himself to you and you step out in that, what he's calling you to do is give an act of worship by surrendering your life to him. And saying, "God, listen, you have all the answers. You're ruler, you're sovereign, and I will surrender to whatever you call me to do." And the first thing that he's going to call you to do as you surrender to him, he's going to call you to strip down the idols. What he told Gideon to do, when Gideon did that, the Lord told him, "I want you to go in and these Baal idol, this Baal worship that's going on in your family, we got to tear it down." If you want to be a conqueror, God is asking you, what are you worshiping that's not God? You can't be a conqueror if you got other gods before him. What is it now? What is the idol that you have that you need to strip down? He told Gideon to go in and take a bull from your father's herd, pull down your dad's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole. I want you to, all the signs of pagan worship, everything that you have put, your job, your car, your money, all of that, everything that you worship other than me has to come down. If you want to be a conqueror for him, you got to strip down your idols. What is the idol that you worship in today? What is it that you have put before God that he's calling you to strip down this morning? You'll never be able to walk in faith. You'll never be able to face those fears and watch God do amazing things in your life while you got idols. He can't listen until you can't go out on that battlefield if you got idols. You can't do that. Because listen, when the battle gets thick, guess what? You're going to turn and run. He want to know where your heart is. Do you have an idol that needs to be torn down today? Today is the day God is calling you to strip down the idols. Final thing I want to give to you is this. Final thing is this, from becoming a coward to a conqueror. Small sacrifices at home come before great victories in public. Small sacrifices at home come before great victories in public. Look at verse 26, 27. We're almost done. So the Lord said, "Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded, but he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. You know what? You can't have big victories in public if you ain't willing to make sacrifices at home. What God called him to do is, listen, what I want you, before you go out and fight Midian, you got some stuff in your house need to be taken care of. Your family is worshiping Baal. So you're going to strip down the idols, and I want you to build an altar to me and make a sacrifice. And that's what God is telling. Listen, he wants to do big things in this church. He wants to do big things in each individual. But before he gives you a public stage, you got to do some stuff in your own house. Gideon had to be willing. Look, if he wasn't willing to take a stand in his house, how is he going to fight the Midianites? God telling them, listen, because y'all got to understand, there were some seasons and generations of people who are now lost sight of the one true God, and they were worshiping Baal. And what God is telling you to do, I want you to go down and go against the culture of your family. Go against the culture of everybody around you and tear down these idols and build an altar to me. You know, I'm here to tell you, you got to make a stand at home. Sometime in the church, do you know we got to tear down some idols in the church? And church folks might get mad. You know, we got idols in the church. The children of Israel were God's called out people, worshiping idols. And what we got to do sometimes, you know, you got to take a stand with folks who name the name of Christ in the house. If you can't make a stand in the house, how are you going to make a stand in the world? If I can't stand for God in the house amongst people of the body of Christ, if I can't make sacrifices amongst people in the body of Christ, which like my family or in church, if I can't sacrifice here where we all supposed to be on the same page, then I can't do it out there. So what Gideon had to do, Gideon had to go and make a sacrifice in his own family, in his own house. But guess what? He was still fearful. Because he did it when? At nighttime. He made the sacrifice, but he did it at night. And when God calls you, sometimes you're going to step out. I told you, you can step out in fear, but you just got to go. He said, Lord, I'm going, but I'm at night. But God is patient with him. He said, just go, Gideon. And Gideon took some folks with him. He went at night, and he tore down the idols. And he had a fight on his hand. But guess what? God fought for him. And now he was prepared to go out into public to have great victory. What is God calling you to sacrifice? What areas is God calling you to sacrifice right at home? Some things that you can control right in your own sphere of influence, in private, in your own family, in your own church. What are areas where you got to have some victories right in here before God can launch you out there? You got to take care of business inside before God could give you a grand stage. Because if you don't take care of it, if he promotes you before you prepare, guess what? It gives a bad testimony in his name. Because now because you're going to face opposition out there. You're going to face opposition. And if you weren't prepared beforehand and you get out there, you're going to crumble. And that gives a bad testimony. God is calling some folks to move from being cowards to being conquerors. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to stand for Jesus Christ today, you're going to have to be a conqueror. You got to stop defining yourself by your circumstances. God is calling you to see yourself as God sees you. See yourself as God sees you. And you got to understand that when you question God, if you have sincere doubts, he's not afraid by that. That guess what? You're not disqualified by your sincere doubts. He wants you to step out on the strength that he has given you, knowing that you're not going on your own strength. That it's him who's going with you. You got some idols that you got to strip down. You got to strip down the idols. God said, listen, if you have put no other gods before me, if you got things in front of him, guess what? You're never going to be a conqueror. You got idols that need to be stripped down. And also, you got to be willing to make sacrifices right where you are before he gives you a public platform. And then when he does that, guess what? Now you're prepared for him to launch you to have great victories for him. Amen? Can we all stand together? From coward to conqueror. What did we say? Our main point was this. Don't be afraid. You might be weak, but God is strong. You might be weak, but God is strong. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes this morning? Today, I want to give two people opportunity. Number one, I want to speak to the person who may never, ever have had a personal relationship with God. See, life is going to present you with challenges. But if you try to do all of that, and you try to fight all through that in your own strength, it's never going to work. God has got a plan for you. God created you. He designed you. He made you to be in a personal relationship with Him. He created you to be in a close, intimate relationship with Him. And that relationship with Him was broken when man sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. There's not a perfect person in here. And the only way for you and I to have a personal relationship with God, and the only way for you and I to be made right with God is if we're perfect. And there's nobody perfect but God. And because God knew that, but He wanted a relationship with you so bad, what He did, He in His perfection became man. He became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, to pay for your sins. The only way your sins and my sins can be forgiven, there's got to be bloodshed. There's got to be blood to cover our sin. And God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you today want to be a conqueror, if you want to have a relationship with Him, listen, the only way for you to do that is admit that you're imperfect. Admit that you've fallen short of God's standard. Second, you must believe that Jesus is the solution to your sin. And then you must commit to Him, confess, invite Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and make you who He wants you to be. If you're here today and you're not sure where you stand with God, you're not sure where, listen, what would happen to you when this life is over, and you want to know that you're right with God and that you would spend eternity with Him, I'm going to pray a prayer, short prayer. And if what I pray expresses the desire of your heart, I want you to repeat this after me, silently, right where you are. It says, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I'm not perfect. And today I want to ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that He was buried and that He rose again. And today I invite You to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and make me who You want me to be. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." With every head bowed, every eye still remaining closed. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, could you raise your hand right where you are just so I can see you? I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank You, Lord. I see those hands. Anyone else? Say, "Yes, Pastor, I prayed that prayer." Amen. I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank You, Lord. Anyone else? Thank You, Lord. The Bible says, listen, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And we praise God. If you raise your hand, we just want to pray with you and for you. And I'm going to ask you to do something courageous like Gideon. I want you to just join me right here so we can pray with you. If you raise your hand at that point, could you come right here? Amen. Thank You, Lord. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Amen. 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 Someone else? Amen. If you raise your hand, listen, we want you to come. Thank you, Sister Tanya. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? If you raise your hand and you just want prayer, we want to pray with you and for you. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no looking around, just you and the Lord. Second call is to hear. If you say, "Listen, yes, Pastor, I'm a follower of Christ, but I want to move from being a coward to being a conqueror. I got some stuff that, Lord, I want to begin to walk by faith like Gideon." And I just was convicted by the word this morning. I ask that you pray for me that I begin to walk in courage, walk by faith and not by sight. If that's you, you want prayer. Lord, help me to walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but Lord, I got some areas in my life where I need courage. Help me to walk by faith. If that's you and you want prayer, why don't you raise your hand? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Anyone else? God, give me the courage to walk by faith. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Lord, help me to stop defining myself by my circumstances. Anyone else need prayer for that? If you're here, say, Pastor, I got some idols I know in my life, some stuff I've exalted before God that need to be torn down. If that's you and you want prayer to bring down some of those idols, could you raise your hand right where you are? I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you that you're a patient God. You're patient with Gideon. You're patient with your children, Israel. And you're patient with us today. I thank you that you're a God who can handle our doubts and our fears and our questions, and that they don't disqualify us. And I come behalf of my brothers and sisters this morning who've raised their hand for prayer, that Lord, help me to be courageous. Help me to walk by faith. Keep me from defining myself by my circumstances, and help me to see myself as you see me, as more than a conqueror. Lord, to trust you, to walk out and step out on the strength that they have. God, there's somebody here, Lord God, who's fearful on stepping out because they don't think they have enough where they are. Help them to step out on what they have, knowing that it's not them, that you go with them. I pray that you'll give them boldness to step out on nothing and watch you do amazing things. In the name of Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this room we'll have amazing testimonies of people who took that leap of faith and saw you do great and mighty things that we could have never conceived. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.